Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text, the account of our Lord's crucifixion from the Gospel of Luke, especially the last prayer of the repentant thief and Jesus' words to him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And our Lord replied, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is our text. How will it all turn out in the end? How will it turn out? That question swirls around in our minds. How will it turn out? This pain, this conflict, this depression, this illness. How will the chaos, the job, the marriage, the family, our nation, this year, my life, how will it all turn out in the end? If we try to stare directly into the end, if we try to stare directly into the last things with the naked eye, to look at death, judgment, heaven, and hell, we'll go blind or we'll go mad. We need some other way to look toward the end. Jesus provides it.
Amen.
He teaches us to approach the end through his cross. See how the crucifixion stands between you and what lies ahead. See how it stands between you and the future. And it enables you, it enables us to go into the future with hope and with confidence. Jesus shows us how it will all turn out in the end. It'll end like this, with crucified Jesus reigning as king, the one who was put to death for you and me, with the scars to prove it, reigning over us forever and ever. But it doesn't always look like it's going to end that way. I think that you probably, like me, for your own life and your daily activities, I imagine that you have a bunch of different endings that play through your mind, usually bad ones. Too often we live in dread of tomorrow. Too often we fear what the morning will bring. We see only suffering, only pain, more sickness, and more death. How could it end any differently? St. Luke takes us to our Lord's crucifixion. And I'll be honest, when we stare into our Lord's crucifixion at first, it doesn't look like there's any other ending there. The scene is filled with suffering. Not just physical suffering, but you heard it in the reading. The verbal mocking, the shameful abuse. Everyone watching thought they knew how it would end. The crowds, the religious leaders, the soldiers, they all thought they knew. The horror of what Christ goes through, as well as the pain and suffering that we endure, it makes you want to close your eyes and walk away. But Jesus invites you today to come closer, to lean in to the cross, and see how it ends. As we approach the cross today, we begin where Luke begins, at a distance. Jesus is stumbling on the way of tears. His strength is so far gone that he's no longer able to carry his own crossbeam. That's when they press into service Simon of Cyrene to take up the cross after Jesus. If we follow along, we stand among the people who are lining his way, a great multitude, it says, including many women. They are mourning and lamenting for Jesus. The tears are flowing. They think they know how it ends, that it ends with the nails and the cross and the last breath, and all is over. Jesus tells them not to weep. He tells them not to mourn over him. But lament, he says, and cry over your own sin. That's why he's headed to the cross. On this way to the cross, we watch as two others, two criminals, notorious, are crucified with him at the place called the skull. It is a fitting place. There they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. They hang them up to die. Public humiliation and shame. But something unexpected happens. In that moment, Jesus prays. He prays for those who crucify him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you imagine having the presence of mind in a moment like that to pray for the ones who are mocking you and reviling you and driving spikes into your hands? Jesus does. With all the activity going on below, with all the things happening at the foot of the cross, his prayer rings out, a prayer for forgiveness, for theirs, for yours, and for mine. He prays from the cross. Standing near the cross, we see his garments being divided. We hear the religious leaders scoffing. He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Christ of God, his chosen one. Do you hear the challenge they make? The challenge they give. If Jesus is the Christ, then he would come down from the cross. If he is truly the Messiah, then he would save himself. That's what's at stake in this bloody mess. The claims of Jesus are being tested. What kind of Christ hangs on a cross and suffocates to death? And then we move closer. And now we stand right near the foot of the cross. We can see the soldiers mocking Jesus. They draw near, they lift a spear with a sponge of cheap wine to his lips. Wine, like Jesus changed the water into at the wedding of Cana. Only that was the best, and now this is the cheap stuff at the end. They offer him wine, almost like they're offering something to a king or to a god, except they don't mean it. It's all a joke. The inscription above his head reads, "The King of the Jews." And the soldiers think that he's a sad excuse for a king. And then Luke takes us even closer. He lifts us up to be with Jesus and the two criminals crucified with him. Suspended between heaven and earth, Luke lets us listen in on their conversation. In the middle of that pain and suffering, when we wonder how it all will end, when they wonder how it all will end, there is a moment of clarity, a moment of truth. Who is Jesus, and how will it end? It's a personal challenge. One of the two criminals rejects Jesus, repeats the challenge of the religious rulers. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other one, the other criminal, who has lived a life that's been terrible, a life of hatred toward his neighbors, of devastation and ruin, the other criminal believes and trusts in Jesus. He believes the impossible. Moments, perhaps, away from dying, certainly no more than minutes or hours, he believes the impossible. He believes the inscription written above Jesus' head, the King of the Jews. He believes the statements made in jest and mockery, that this is the Christ. He believes the offering made on the end of that spear, that it was offered to one who is both God and King. And he believes that there will be a different ending. Through the pain, through the suffering, he believes that Jesus really is a king. And he believes that Jesus is really entering into a kingdom through the cross. And so he cries out, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Dear friends, what could be a better prayer for us as we contemplate the end than to pray with that repentant criminal, "Jesus, remember me. Remember me now. Remember me as you are in your kingdom. Remember me as you reign as king." Because Jesus is king. He is king on the cross. And he is king now. And he is the king who will return again in glory. And he is reigning right there from the cross. And he is reigning over us now. And he will reign when he comes again in glory. with a gracious reign and rule, bringing salvation to a repentant criminal in his dying hour. If you had seen that criminal throughout his life, maybe even as long ago as when he was a child, certainly when he was in the thick of his criminality, you would not have believed how it would end for this one. You might have predicted the cross. You might have predicted crucifixion and suffering and death. But you could not have predicted what Jesus says. Today, you will be with me in paradise. That repentant thief hears how it will end. Not like the world would have imagined, not like he would have imagined, certainly not like he deserved, but as the king decrees, as the king declares. Right here, at the heart of the crucifixion, Jesus reveals the heart of his Father. He is not coming down from the cross, not without dying upon it, not without shedding his blood for you and for me. And why not? Because he didn't come to save himself, but he came to save you. To save you now and at the end. He came to die under the punishment of all sin, that he might open the kingdom of heaven to all believers, including you. And so Jesus turns to that repentant thief. He reveals his gracious rule. He says, "Today, today, you will be with me in paradise," because death cannot rob Jesus of his kingdom. In fact, Jesus is the one who robs death of its power by dying, and then by rising from the dead to rule over all things. Today is the end of the church year. What a beautiful thing it is for us that as the church year ends, we receive this vision of Jesus. Not of Jesus simply ruling on his throne over a new creation, but Jesus ruling from the cross, ruling with grace and with mercy and with forgiveness and with that promise of paradise, ruling even in the midst of suffering and of pain, his and ours. Until that day when Jesus returns and restores all creation, this is how we see him. We see him through pain and suffering. We see him through tears and sorrow. We see him in the midst of our sins and of death. But we see him still as our King. I know sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes the pain is great. Sometimes the sorrow is deep. Sometimes we find it challenging to see Jesus as our King. But he is. He reigns from his cross, and he reigns through his church. And he reigns here until he comes again. And even when we find the pain great, even when we find the suffering deep, even when we find it hard to believe, he invites us to come closer in. He invites us to lean into his cross. He invites us to listen to that word that he speaks. The word that he speaks in the midst of our broken and fragmented lives. To you, to your church, to your world, his promise: "I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I have not forgotten you. I have offered my life for you. And even though it is hard, I am graciously ruling over all things." Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns as King over a kingdom which will never fade or pass away. A kingdom that has already begun and comes to us now, but will flower in the fullness of time when he comes again. So yes, I know it's hard. I wish that I could give you today the glory of heaven right here. But I can give you Jesus, crucified, risen, and reigning. We have only a glimpse of the promised end of all things. And that glimpse is brief. It is filled with pain. The pain of his suffering and dying. But it is enough to sustain you and me. Jesus is here. He is bringing God's grace to you, even when you are weary and suffering. And what he says, his word, will determine how things are forever. You will be with me in paradise. That's how it ends. That's how it ends for those who follow Jesus as King. That's how it ends for sinners who cling to the one who brings forgiveness by his death. That's how it all will turn out in the end, when he will say to us, "Today, today, you will be with me in paradise."
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.